I'm Katie Couric.
I'm Bozma St. John.
I'm an award-winning journalist.
And I'm a trailblazing marketing executive.
And we sound kind of full of ourselves, but together we're hosting a brand new podcast
to help us look beyond our pandemic present.
It's called Back to Biz
with Katie and Boz.
Each week, we'll interview the leaders and big thinkers in industries from tech and education
to fashion and pop culture to find out how they're adjusting to this new way of life.
Listen to Back to Biz with Katie and Boz
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, my witchy poo. How are you? It just rhymes. That's why you laugh, because it rhymes. Poo
no,
and
I
you.
I laugh because every time you have a little different song in your greeting, it's just very entertaining to me. That's the first time I got the, hey, witchy poo.
Hey, witchy poo, how are you? Should I do it like a rap or a country song or something like that my hey, witchy poo, how are you?
I like it a lot.
How you holding up?
I'm good. Oops, sorry. I just dropped my pen. Sorry about that. Other than dropping my pen, I'm very good.
I would say if dropping a pen was the worst thing that's happened to you lately, that you're in better shape than everybody else.
I'm doing good. I just am finishing up my Tarot class online, and
I'm so proud
of my students. They're so inspiring. They're all leaning in, and you know the magic of Tarot, and it's just...
And you're the most amazing teacher, and your deck is amazing. I don't think I can read another tarot deck, but I have a whole like shelf full of them.
I know you can't help but be attracted to them, right? They're so
right. I love
cool.
them. I even bought an old Mystic Tarot, like the original,
the
pack.
Mythic Tarot.
Oh, Mythic. I don't know what I said. The Mythic Tarot. I don't know what I said. You know, I always say things wrong, so yeah. Just roll with me. Yeah, I'm usually 90% right. Like when I even practice mediumship and I'm talking to people's loved ones, I get names right about 80 to 90%. Like.
That's more than I get. I don't even try. I'm so bad with names.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten better at it, but they're never right on. It's funny, but it's so close, you know I'm right. You know, it's like horseshoes. You're like it's close counts. So speaking of close counts, I don't know how this is actually close counts is going to relate to
nice
this.
Nice attempted segue.
I know. It's a shitty segue. I've had good ones, but this is not a good one. But today... You know, our show is called Psychic Hotline. Nobody get excited. We're not opening a psychic hotline. We're just calling it Psychic Hotline.
Not yet. You know,
not yet. Right. We may. Who knows?
Because if we never get to see people again, this is how it's going to have to happen.
Oh, actually, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be good,
okay.
Right?
All right. We'll open a psychic hotline.
Okay. Note to Maya.
And Ben. But so many of our listeners, you know, are just beginning their spiritual or their psychic journey.
Right.
And we have other listeners that are well into their journey.
Right.
But no matter where you are, everybody needs a hotline. I mean, you needed a hotline, you know, back in your days of, you know, rooming with Katie Flannery in Chicago. Like you needed somebody, you know, you needed guidance, right?
I did.
So absolutely. We all need it. And God knows I need it. In fact, I need it all the time. all the time. So it's kind of like a psychic 911. So today's episode is kind of meant to be the next best thing. So we're, you know, what we want to do is take a lot of the things that, you know, we understand, we learn, things that we hear from our listeners, just to kind of like, it's kind of like on a website when you see the FAQs, the frequently asked questions.
Nice.
It's like, we think we know what those are. So this is your kind of psychic hotline show, right?
I like it. I like it a lot, my elf. And really, when we're talking about people who are opening up and diving full, wide open-hearted into the other side, we want to make sure, number one, they don't drown, and number two, they don't get bit by a shark.
Yeah, no sharks. We don't want any etheric sharks. We talked about etheric spiders, but etheric sharks we haven't, because we don't know if they truly exist. But
and by that, we want to say that, you know, we talk about Earth school being hard without the other side, but going into the other side without knowing what the ground rules are makes Earth school seem like a cakewalk, because you can get into trouble fast, like those strong undertows, undercurrents that can pull you out. The same thing can happen in the other side. And I know many of our listeners have had those experiences because we hear their stories, right? They DM us, they email us, they find you on LinkedIn. Like, this is real. And we want to make sure that we're encouraging people to honor and to be open to the other side with playing by the rules to keep them safe.
There are man-made rules like traffic, right? You know, we have stop signs, we have stop lights, we have laws and rules to keep, keep order. Well, the order still has to exist for the other side, because there are rules that exist there as well. And this is our opportunity to kind of jump into them. So what would you say the most important tool that we can possess that keeps us out of harm's way?
Well, there are so many of my favorites. And the truth is, we've covered a lot of them in other episodes, whether it's the prayer protection, or all kinds of things of how to smudging, you know, keeping your space clear. These are all things that are super, super important. And I think we've probably woven in some of these great tips and techniques almost in every episode.
Yeah, but I know we have one we haven't talked about, but we're not there yet. But boy, do we ever! It's going to rock some worlds.
We have a couple of them, mm-hmm. And of course, our crystal episodes are really good too, to help with that, because the rocks really help. But one of the foundational tools that I think is a game changer for anyone who's new on the path is grounding. And let me just unpack this a little bit. So, the thing is, when we are sensitive to the other side, whether it's emotionally, energetically, even physically, we can feel it in our bodies when we get supercharged, when a spirit comes in, or when we've walked through a vortex, or we walk through a high energy space, or we walk through a low energy space, right? When you can discern that, either through your emotional field, through your inner insight, through your palm chakras, whatever it is. I had a couple listeners go, I have palm chakras? I didn't know that. Palm chakras are
I knew people would love that.
I know. It was so good. They loved that right in that episode. But being able to scan, you know, with that and have the awareness is super, it's like a superpower. And what happens is they will lean in to the high frequencies, into the energy, and lose their groundingness. So remember, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So if you only default to that energetic or spiritual experience, you are losing the vehicle to experience the spiritual experience. You're losing your body. You're losing your groundedness. You're losing your enrollment in Earth school. Don't do it.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that the word grounded has been hijacked by a lot of different categories. I don't know what actually to call them, but I know that when I used to work at Fox, people were like, well, you know, let's ground this idea, or let's, you know, got to be grounded. But they didn't really know what they were talking about. It's interesting, is because people will say that, or they knew what they were talking about, but I don't think they really know what grounding something actually meant. It's just a word that's been, I think, used without a lot of knowledge behind it. And I found that one word that can help, and whether it helps our listeners, I know it helps me, and it's helped people I've talked to before, but the word tether. Because if we don't tether our body, right, which grounding and tethering to me is kind of the same thing, it's kind of like a string to a balloon, right? A string tethers a balloon. So if we don't have that, we can fly away, and we'll never be found again.
And we actually know people like that who are very light and airy, and they just float off, and, you know, like, wait, whoa, where'd you go? Their body may still be right in front of you, but they're gone.
They're gone.
They're just
floating. Yeah, because they're not grounded,
away.
They're not tethered.
Right, yes, because they're not grounded, they're not tethered. I know the phrase, like, if someone has an opinion, you want to ground that opinion in data or in experience or in something that's known. So that phrase, I think that's where it comes from. Like, I have this opinion that I've extrapolated, but, you know, I'm grounding it in this
experience. It's more like proof than it is grounding.
Right.
And so I just want us to, as we talk through some of these ideas, to make sure that we can give some words that maybe some people can grasp onto.
That are used in different ways.
And maybe they do, and use them in different ways. I love the word grounding because I know what it means. I was taught, right? I was taught to ground. But when I teach others and I use the word tether, it actually helps them understand it a little better.
It's so funny because I know people who have an experience of tethering that makes them feel limited somehow. Like, I don't even...
Locked.
Yeah,
They feel
so
trapped.
They feel like they're being pulled up short or something. Like, I'm tethered to it. I can't get further out. And so I have avoided that word in the past, but I like it as a... So when I think about grounding in the way we're talking about, which is we want to actually have you ground and drop grounding cords into the earth and stay connected to the physical planet, to your physical body, it can help you go deeper into the other side with safety. And that's what we're talking about. That's the power of dropping grounding cords, or AKA staying grounded.
Right.
Make sense? Right.
So it makes total sense to me. I hope everybody else it makes sense to them. because when I was being taught about grounding and using different grounding cords, and interestingly enough, to your earlier point, I was told, don't worry, it will move with you. It will go wherever you go. So don't feel that you are being you're being limited or prohibited from doing something because the grounding card can move with you. So would you mind just like letting everybody know, like, what's the 60-second way that they can, because there's more extensive grounding. There's like what's taught at the Berkeley Psychic Institute or the different institutes around the world. There is grounding. It is course number one, but there are also kind of shortcuts, I guess, if you will, that can help somebody ground today.
So like the first track in my meditation program, my meditation series called Activate Your Energy, right? That is just a really simple drop, spin a ball of light in the pelvic bowl and drop it down through the pelvic floor, down through the chair, down through the floor, down through the topsoil, down through the down to the center of the earth, right? So it's a very simple boom, feel it. And when you're spinning the ball of light, like take a moment to connect with it. Is it changing colors? Is it changing size? Does it feel hot? Does it feel cold? Does it have a sound? Does it have a color? Like pay attention to what you notice. Just take a couple breaths there, boom, drop it down. And then give it a little tug. Give that cord a little tug with your etheric hands, right? You're not going to do it with your physical hands because it's not a physical thing. But give it a little tug. And if you feel a little resistance, like you're plucking a violin string, then you know you're grounded. If you don't, drop that grounding cord and just release it from the pelvis and put it down into the center of the earth. Let it be recycled, renewed for something else. You're done with that grounding cord and drop another ball of light. Like keep dropping it until you feel just a little resistance that says, we got you. The earth is holding you. Let it be activated in this way so that you are connected. Now you are so much better set up for a clean, clear connection with the other side. So you're not, you're grounded. You have this earth energy holding you. It's really powerful.
Because we're earthly beings. And I think a lot of people want to ignore the earthly being part because they think it's sexier to go, you know, play on the other side. It's like grounding yourself is giving, you know, the equality that the earth deserves, you know, when you are wanting to go and journey a bit on the other side. And so I think it's such a powerful thing. You know, when I was being taught to use grounding cords, the one that I gravitated toward, and I'm just telling the story so people know that you can, you know, also choose some grounding cords. But the one that I ended up choosing was the house Suzanne and I had in Sherman Oaks had this really amazing olive tree in the front yard. And he was named aptly Oliver. I can't say that my creativity was, you know, really sparking that day, but anyway, so
they will also tell you what they want to be called.
Well, in the funny thing is, I don't want to get too far off track, but I used to have conversations with Oliver. Yeah. He was amazing. This tree was extraordinary. And so Oliver is he's my go-to grounding cord. Mm-hmm. And we talk, I make sure he's okay. Cause he is weirdly, the one thing I miss about that house is Oliver. I loved that damn tree. Mm-hmm. Loved that tree. In fact, because then I also, again, I'm going off traffic, but what the hell? but, you know, we live through a lot of drought. And when we lived in California, because Suzanne and I lived in California for 25 years, and I think more than half of it, we were in drought. So we learned to be really great water conservationists. And what I would do is I would take those, you know, Home Depot Homer buckets, those 5-gallon buckets, put it under the shower water as it was getting warm, and I would taste, it's called gray water.
Right.
I would take that water, and that's how I fed Oliver. So I worked really hard to keep Oliver alive and healthy during the droughts. And
doing that supports your groundedness. Anytime you do any activity that connects you with the earthiness, right, it's this beautiful cycle that keeps you grounded.
And the Icelanders, by the way, are hugging trees right now. Like they are saying there's a difference in people during the pandemic. They're saying, go hug a tree.
Right.
Because you can't touch other people.
Right.
Go hug a tree and it's making a difference. And I know you want a break. You always want to take the damn break. So I will look. I will acquiesce to this one.
It's how I stay grounded.
Maya is our producer, everyone, just so you know. And our boss.
Exactly.
All right, everybody, we are back. Your psychic hotline episode. Again, maybe we might have a psychic hotline one day. So,
psychic hotline. Stay
first
grounded.
Step.
You have to be grounded before you can even call us, because otherwise it doesn't matter.
Because we won't pick up the phone.
Stay grounded.
And actually, many people actually do treat us like a psychic hotline. We just get emails and messages from them. So I think we actually already are one. So again, grounding being the, you know, probably the number one thing you must always do. But there are others that are equally as important, and that is knowing, and boy, have I learned this one, and is about checking my ego. Because ego can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Brenda just went, she can't even speak. She feels that so deeply because she deals with other people in that so much.
And the thing is, you know, part of the ego's job is to keep us alive, right? That's and so it will put you in positions to help you feel important, right? And feel powerful, when sometimes it's just all about you feeding your ego instead of you actually being wise. And that's a really big difference. And
it is a big difference.
And when you're in this space of the other side where, you know, sometimes in some ways earthly rules don't matter. And so you think you're playing by the earthly rules and you're smart and you navigated the world so far, but now you're moving into the other side and you show up doing the same kind of BS that you do on the earth plane, and this stuff can get you in trouble, people. It can get
you. Well, I'll give you a great example of that. And I think that this will, I think, really show what it means, right? So I've talked about my friend Alex Van Camp. In fact, Alex and I have been playing phone tag lately, which is probably why we are doing this episode. Like, all that stuff is always so connected, right?
Exactly.
And if you guys don't know, I love him so deeply and dearly. So when I tell this story, I tell it for learning experiences and not telling on him. But when he was tussling with the Hat Man during sleep paralysis, and we finally, you know, identified what it was after all the studying and talking to you, Brenda, and reading Heidi Hollis's book about the Hat Man, that I was able to talk to him about it. And he said to me, because we got to the place where it's like, we know how for you not to encounter this guy. He goes, well, but what if I want to talk to him? What if I want to confront him? And I went, oh, for fuck's sake, don't. No, why? Why would you do that? Don't do that. Is you just being a dude. You're just like, you know, you're just like beating your chest, thinking that you're going to somehow outsmart the hat man after thousands of years. Somehow it's you. I don't think so, my love.
Yeah,
ego was our conversation about that.
And exactly, like, I get it on the earth plane, because Alex is so capable on the earth plane, right?
He's the most capable one I know.
Right, yes. Just like on it, happening. I get it. They don't give a shit about any of that on the other side. It doesn't apply. So, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself, my friend.
Check yourself before. But there's a lot of people, even if it's not, you know, confronting the Hat Man.
Well, they just,
people get so excited
to connect with the other side. Like, they hear our stories, or they hear other people's stories, or they once had an experience, and they just, And even when we tell, you know, sort of spiritual disaster stories or things like that, they're like, well, I'd rather have that, you know, at least I'd have something then. I want so much to connect with the other side, or I want to have that experience. But you can just fuck things up, people, and you cannot unfuck it.
And you never hear Brenda say the word fuck, so you know she means it.
I'm
unlike
so
me,
serious about
I
this.
Use it for fun. She does not. She's and very serious by telling you this.
It's, I am so serious about this. And you know, I had one of our audience members decided to go give a tarot reading in a graveyard and thought that would be really fun. Went to sit down on one of the lovely benches in, you know, a spring graveyard setting. Come on, people, really? And so they went to do that. They almost got pushed over by spirits, right? Because when you open up a sacred space, whether it's your heart, whether it's your crown, or whether it's shuffling a tarot deck, which is also a vortex, you open up a sacred space and the spirits just come flying in. They just come flying in. And this person was not ready for that. Her client, or soon-to-be client, was not ready for it. They both almost fell over physically, and it took days to detox themselves from it, and they didn't even know what the hell had happened. They didn't even know what happened, and you know, chances are that you know, she had some awareness of energies and how to manage it, but that can hang on for years, and that can actually change the trajectory of your life. And I'm not being overly dramatic. I'm just telling you how it goes.
Like, no, this I'm the over dramatic one, not you.
Yeah.
So when you say it, you are not being overly dramatic. If I say it, I am.
Yeah. I mean, it can literally, you can end up moving, you can end up in different relationships, you can end up in different careers. Like, you can take on just energies that aren't yours, influencing your choices, and it's really expensive.
So, and its attachments can, like, hook themselves into you.
Oh, they
and
just
guide
weave
you
into your DNA.
Ugh.
Yeah. So even masterful healers have a hard time detecting, like, what really happened and where the original insertion was. And it's so this whole thing about, I'm just going to jump in, it can't be that bad. Oh, no.
It can.
It can be. It can be really bad. It can be really bad.
Yeah, it can be really, really bad. And I would actually venture to say you could actually lose your life. Like, you could go that far. You could have, you know, some entanglements with some spirits that are not good, and they can drive you to things that you would normally not go to.
And are very, so first of all, very energetically expensive, spiritually expensive, and physically damaging. So
yes.
When you start thinking like, oh, I can handle this, or when you trust that little voice that says, I don't actually know what I'm doing, I should probably get some help first. So
right.
Please stay curious.
This is your help, folks. Yeah, this is it right now.
We want your curiosity. We don't want your recklessness.
Right.
Right.
Right. I think that is very well put and could not emphasize enough. And I'm telling you that the checking of the ego is crucial. It is crucial because, you know, what I learned through my journey so much is that was about checking checking my ego. It was the humility of being human. And I'm way more, I mean, I'm a badass on the other side, but I'm definitely a badass in real life, like in my body. Like, it's like, I'm fearful of very few things. But I also respect the other side and know where I could go, because here's a reality. I've actually never met the Hat Man because he's uninvited. Because I know I right. don't want that energy. And so I uninvite all of that stuff. I'm not saying that's the only way to go about it. And we're all different. We all have to do things our own way. But the fact that in the beginning, I'm like, nope, you are not invited.
Right.
In my orbit. I don't need your shit. You're out. And weirdly, so far, so good. But that's that.
Yeah. So, and I would just have you decide what your threshold is that says, okay, I'm crossing this line. But if you have kids, just think, is this something I would be comfortable with one of my children doing when they were under the age
that
of eight?
Is the conversation I had with Alex.
Right.
He was becoming a new dad for the first time.
Right. Is this something I'd be comfortable with my children doing?
And that changed him.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry to keep interrupting you, but
no.
Like, so what changed that man?
Yeah. It's a really good threshold. If you don't have kids, pretend you do.
Yeah, pets.
Yeah. Was this something I would be comfortable dragging my pet into without any training, without any protection?
I think that is such a great point. Don't do it.
Too expensive.
Don't do it. She's not being dramatic, folks.
Yep.
So now, if I were calling into a psychic hotline, one of the things that I would ask, did you like how I do that to you?
What would you ask my elf?
What I would ask, about trusting my own self, like trusting my own visions, trusting my own instincts, because I will tell you, you know, one thing that I have struggled with was that trusting of self. I'm way better about it now, but trusting, you know, like, what do I trust? What do I not trust?
Right. Right.
Tell us about that.
This is a really big thing. And even, you know, hopefully in the, you know, past episodes, if you've listened, you hear us say, you'll know, trust yourself, trust that inner guidance, cultivate a relationship with your inner guidance. And the way you do that, of course, is by meditation. I know, rinse, repeat for me, but it is an important thing. But I will just give you one example that comes to mind for me. So we have a close friend who stays with us often and travels a great deal, and we're sort of in the middle of the country. So this friend comes in and stays with us frequently, and we love having her, and it's so much fun. And one year for Thanksgiving, we had planned to visit our families who are out of the state. And so she figured this out and said, hey, I'm going to come to, you know, can I stay in your house for Thanksgiving? And we were like, you know, we didn't answer right away because I didn't know how to think about that. This friend is, you know, we talked earlier how you have people who float away. This is one of those.
Well, also people need to understand how energetically charged your house is. And, you know, it is gridded. Like, you have a lockdown on it, but you also have, there's a lot of activity in it too.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean,
I just want to add that part.
Thank you.
Because not everybody's house is like your house.
Yes.
Nobody, other people don't blow their light bulbs like you do, or batteries drain in like a nanosecond.
Yeah.
Cabinets slamming.
It can happen. So I was like, let me just think about that. You know, but I trusted myself in the moment. This is, you know, a dear friend. And I trusted not to answer right away because it wasn't an unequivocal yes. It was like, let me feel that, because I couldn't feel it. Like, I literally couldn't feel it. And then there were a couple messages that came through, one through one of my healers who worked on me, one through a dream. And then there was a third one that came through that all showed the same thing, which was our house igniting with this friend in it.
Like on fire, igniting.
Yes, igniting. Igniting. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I had to tell this friend, I'm so sorry, but I can't allow that. I can't have you in the house for the Thanksgiving holiday. This did not go over well because, unbeknownst to me at the time, she had invited a whole bunch of people from all these different states to come to our home for Thanksgiving.
Which is probably why you saw the ignition happen.
I don't know. And the beautiful thing is, I will never know, because I trusted my instincts in such a very strong way. And this was not a way to say, I don't love you, or you are irresponsible, or I don't trust you. It wasn't any of those things. It was about me trusting my instincts, trusting what came to me through three different venues in less than a week that said, this is not a good time for you to be in our home alone. It doesn't mean that that's a global thing and that it'll never happen, but it wasn't going to be over that Thanksgiving holiday. And so
I love that story, Bren. I think it is so, and why I love this story is because, A, it's your story, and these are things that you have to stay on top of daily, even with all your superpowers, right? Like, even you have to decode these things that happen, because you are just as human as the rest of us.
You, Earth school is hard, baby.
Earth school is hard. It's hard for us too.
It's not just a tagline. I'm living it.
So what I think is incredible about the story is that you did. You spent time with, like, let me look at this. It doesn't feel right. But here's the part that I think would be really helpful for people. So, you know, we all have, you know, we like to call it intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a clair, you know.
It's one of the clairs.
Yeah. It's one of the clairs, but if we want to call it by a different name, we can. And we'll just call it intuition. I think the hard part for people is, because also, you know, because we talked about grounding, ego, now we're into trusting, is how do you have that conversation with someone that you love and, A, not sound crazy, not piss them off, ensure, though, that you were, because the decision that you made was protecting yourself, your space,
and ultimately protecting my friendship, right?
Of course.
Because one of the things I said is, if anything happened, I would never forgive myself, right? What if something happened to her? Well, exactly. You know, if the house burned down, like, I would never forgive myself. And I can't ask other people to trust my intuition, ask other people into their own intuition if I can't live it.
right.
Like, right, this is not a life I want to live. I want to live a life where I'm actually living my teachings and being brave enough to make someone else uncomfortable to speak my truth. And they don't have to believe me, right? They don't have to believe me. They don't even have to, you know, if I didn't have such an authentic relationship with this woman for so many decades, she may have thought, you just didn't want me in your house.
you know? Right, right.
You just want to ruin my Thanksgiving, you know, which there were flares of that, trust me. She had to go back to her people.
I like that. There were flares.
there were flares.
Flares out there.
Because she was embarrassed, right? Because our school is hard. So she had to go uninvite people to this Thanksgiving she was planning in my home.
And what a lesson for her.
Well, and the truth is, it didn't hurt our relationship.
Right.
She wasn't overly pleased in the moment, but...
So one of the things that I've learned about that, about the truth of it, because I've had to deal with that too, because the worst thing for me is to not speak it.
Right.
And something happened, right? Like, that is like, oh, wait, I saw that and I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. And,
so
right?
expensive.
It's so, so expensive. It is. And it's the same. Well, so I also learned it during mediumship training, where it's like, it's not my job to filter or to hold back or even in, you know, we all know I like to juice up stories, to even do that. that's not my job. My job is to communicate clearly what I am getting and to not hold it back, because it's not mine, right?
Right.
But the point, I think, of this is, in what I've learned, is my job is to communicate. My job is not to process it for the other person or to be fearful of how they will respond.
Right.
So my job is like, I must communicate it with love and to be gentle. And if I can't be gentle, if they don't get it, I can get a little rougher if I need to, but my job is to communicate it, period. How they handle it is up to them. What they do with the information is up to them. But, you know, my job is to make sure I communicate.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And to honor and trust that instinct and that knowing. And I will say, when I'm working, I will often be giving a message and I will check in with the spirit giving the message that says, did I get that right?
You know,
do you need to modify that or use a different word there? You know, like, I'm translating energy, right? And so the same is true when you're trusting your own instincts that says, did I speak that as authentically as I needed to? Or do I need to go back and was I overly harsh? Or, you know, but don't only respond to the person in front of you to try and make them comfortable.
Exactly.
Because that's too expensive. Then you've lost the meaning of the message. It doesn't mean, you know, go in and kill them with it. You know, like, it doesn't.
No, but you can communicate,
right,
you know, with love, mm-hmm, for sure. And when you do that, ideally, you're not. You don't control how other people take, how they accept things.
Exactly.
But it's worth the risk is kind of the overall point.
Right.
Whatever risk you think you may have, it is far worth that risk than to not communicate it and to not be true to yourself. Right? It is far more worth that other risk. And then if somebody's upset, just give them a little time. I mean, it's because they'll process it and they'll get to where they need to be. But I think that's one of the harder things.
That just gives you more information.
It does, right? It does, doesn't it? It gives you more information.
Right. It gives you more information that they were never your friend, right?
Right.
Because,
right,
you know, you get to have needs too. You get to,
exactly,
to live your truth without qualifications.
Right. And like, somebody might say, well, I think you're full of shit. And be like, okay. Well, you're still not staying at my house. I mean, I got you there.
Because I would like to come back from Thanksgiving vacation to my home.
To my home. Exactly. And the other thing is, it is yours.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. It is yours. I mean, it's physically yours.
Yeah.
Like, it is in within the, with the law of the land, it's yours. You know?
And the truth, and those messages were also mine. right?
Yes.
Just as physical, just as much ownership as the house, right? The energetic messages that came through the spirit messages. So beautiful.
Oh, it's so good. All right. So we're going to take a break, which I never actually initiate a break. I think that Brenda is probably completely and utterly bowled over by that. But that is my truth, is that we need a break. And so I need to tell all you guys my truth.
And we will be right
back.
What did you do? You're freaking me out.
If you're wondering how police brutality got to be so bad and how police became so eager to shoot, you might want to listen to this week's episode of Behind the Bastards, where we talk about Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, the most notorious police trainer in American history and the inventor of a discipline called killology, which he taught to the Minneapolis Police Department and more than 100 other police departments around the country. Listen to Behind the Bastards on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. And I actually think that we just heard a story from Brenda about how she actually listened to her instincts and did the right thing. I think, Brenda, do you have a story that will kind of share with us doing the wrong thing?
Oh, I have a lot. A lot of those. That's called the Earth School. Damn it.
When did you get an F on intuition?
I got an F on intuition when I was sitting in a – I told this story once before in an episode, but it's such a deal breaker for me when I was sitting in a Barnes & Noble bookstore reading a book and being very fascinated. I was there with my boyfriend and I heard this voice that said, look up, as I was sitting on the floor. And I was just all in my ego, all my little, you know, sassy pants. If he wants to come get me, he can come get me. I'm reading this book. I'm not even going to look up. And I looked up 5 minutes later, and my handbag was stolen.
So, that is not a good time to ignore.
Yes. So I got an F in trusting my intuition, trusting my guidance. And, you know, that happens too. But what a gift, because I got the lesson, right? I got the lesson.
Yeah, what a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just lost a handbag. I mean, in the scheme of things, yeah. I mean, I know it sucks. And losing a handbag, that sucks. Yeah. It totally sucks because getting a new driver's license and credit cards, that all sucks.
Well, and I was traveling, so I didn't have my driver's license.
Yeah, no, that all sucks. You know, the worst, when I learned is that the dog ate a pair of my shoes. So, like, that was a very small price to pay for such a big, important lesson, because it was after that is when I heard guidance in my car that eventually, like, very well saved my life, or saved the person in front of me, save mine, don't answer your phone. Right. And the shoe lesson came before that.
Yeah. So you got it ramped up.
So, right.
They're like, we got to help Elf.
We got to help her out. So let's teach her about this lesson and let's just take her shoes away, even though it'll piss her off because she has a wide foot with a high arch and we know how shoes are very difficult for her, but let's take those away. Because we have other things we have planned for her, and it worked, and they were right.
And again, what I love about just that little progression you just gave, which was, you know what, we're all learning. Like, we've laid down some pretty valuable guidelines of navigating the other side, and we're all learning all the time. So have compassion for yourself as you go through these steps of just practice grounding. Practice what that would be like. Spend 5 seconds, 5 minutes visualizing that ball of light and dropping it down and being grounded. And then moving with that grounding cord throughout the day until it's all of a sudden gone, and then drop a new one.
Like, yeah, because you can feel it when it's gone. Like when I was learning.
If you're paying attention.
I could tell. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And I would encourage people. I know I've been doing this a lot lately, which has been, you know, really directing people to you, Brenda, whether it's for a reading or to... you know, work with your the new meditations that you have out now, I think is so crucial, because that way you have instruction and you actually have your psychic that's keeping an eye on you, because that's you. and you'll learn what to look for, you know, when you are ungrounded, because that was the most valuable thing to me, is that I learned. I remember I was really at the very beginning of it. And the person who taught me had actually said, you are to do this yourself. You're not to try to teach anybody else until I tell you, which was really important. Like, I need ground rules. Grounding rules. I do. I mean, I need
and
big.
And sometimes you listen to them.
Sometimes I do. But I need big old fences around me when it comes to this stuff, because I get excited like anybody else. I'm still a little kid when it comes to it. And But part of it was paying attention to myself. And I learned that when I was grounded, I could really handle things better. Mm-hmm. Like I could handle a problem. I was very calm. In fact, you could ask anybody I worked with, they would tell you how calm I became during that time. It was very hard to get me upset. But
you,
then
you don't get as thrown.
Right? No. Yep, no, and I could process things. And I was right, and I was so like my old behavior was I would just want to make decisions to get them out of the way. And then when I would ground myself, I would actually take longer, so much more time to make decisions because I was actually in my body, right? Do what? Yeah.
More thoughtful too.
Oh, far more thoughtful. Right. Good decisions. Way better decisions than I'd made before. But boy, could I tell when I was ungrounded?
Yeah.
That was so amazing. Like, because I would find myself kind of going off the handle and I'd be like, whoa, I had to give myself timeouts. And I would go take timeouts in the ladies' restroom. I'm just telling you like it was. And I would go into a stall and I would literally take a few, I would go ground myself and just get composed. And then I was fine.
Yeah.
So practicing that is so important. And make sure you know when you're ungrounded, because that is the most important thing I learned.
And the other thing is when you're ungrounded, you'll take on so much more energy that's not yours.
Oh, it's exhausting.
And you'll just get so exhausted so fast. And it doesn't matter what you eat or how much you rest. You just can't do it because all that energy wasn't yours to begin with. So you can't.
The cherry pie doesn't help. I mean, it's weird because I thought it fixes everything, but it doesn't.
Good to know.
So, yeah, you're welcome. Is there anything else, though, that...
Just reminding people of what we talked about today, which is, you know, that groundedness... Check your ego, right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself, because you can get you can get in big trouble on the other side.
That's a meme. Yeah. Check yourself before you wreck yourself and have like some grounding visual.
And then trust your visions, trust your instincts. And as you connect in with that and honor that, navigate the exterior world with compassion as you engage with others or express your truth. But maintain your own authority over your own life. Don't expect other people to give you permission or understand. That's not their job. That's your job. Ugh. Own that.
Well said
again.
Without
apology, right?
So good. And the ego part of it, right? Like that part is make sure what you're doing isn't to, you know, pound your chest and like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Why don't you just check that too while you're at it?
Yeah,
like,
until your life gets hijacked for a decade, then come
exactly,
back to us.
Exactly, exactly. But I think it's really important. I think that part's really important. It's like, if you're not confident, don't do it. Yeah. You know, get the proper instruction.
And truly, if you are confident, I would really check yourself, see who's talking there. Right?
Ooh,
because the truth
nice
is,
one.
Even when you're navigating the other side or some situation, you should always be on alert. You should always be. And if you're getting lackadaisical and you're so confident, you're like, oh, I got this. Mm-mm. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Guarantee
yep.
it. Guarantee
be
it.
Be alert, I think is, oh, that's a good one. Yep. So the final message on that is to be alert. Yeah, that's our psychic hotline.
Hope you enjoyed.
Thank you so much. And Brenda, thank you. That was great stories. And I love that.
I love
so much of what you.
You
said.
What a great day. Thanks, Mal.
And remember,
art school is hard.
Without the other side. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is DJ Vlad, and I want you to check out the Vlad TV podcast launching on June 17th. Since 2008, Vlad TV has been the leader in hard-hitting, no-holds-barred interviews with the world's biggest rappers, singers, Hollywood stars, professional athletes, and former big-time criminals. And now you can catch all of our full-length interviews available as audio podcasts. So listen to the Vlad TV podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Kimberly Drew. If I've learned anything in my years of studying and uplifting Black artists, it's that we all have the power to create something beautiful. That's why I'm pleased to introduce you to people who have broken down boundaries in fencing and helped to create the first ever smart store. They're a big deal, and it's time we give them our attention. Listen to Your Attention, Please, a Hulu podcast with iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's inspired by Your Attention, Please, now streaming on Hulu. Watch for a fresh point of view on Black history.